This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello there, this is Paul O'Higgins with today's Great Invitation. The Great Invitation goes out from the heart of God to every human being that will respond to the message of his good news available through the work of Jesus on the cross. In today's Great Invitation, we're going to talk more about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We saw that all four Gospels introduce Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus, in the book of Acts, as he was departing, told his disciples, who had already received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, on the day of the resurrection, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they be clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:29. And then, in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They were waiting, even though they had already received the new birth. They were told to wait until the day of Pentecost came, and then they would receive power to be his witnesses. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to give us new birth, to put the life of God within us, to remove and replace the Adam life with the Jesus life. Then he offers to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, to saturate us with the Holy Spirit, if we will believe and if we receive. So he asked his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost came, and they did. They waited 120 in an upper room in Jerusalem, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. We see that the Holy Spirit comes in us in new birth and comes upon us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. After Jesus had received the anointing of the Holy Spirit at the age of 30, he never needed to receive the new birth. When the Spirit came upon him, he returned after a 40-day period in the wilderness, being tested and tempted and overcoming the temptations of the devil. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the synagogue in Nazareth, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." He announced that the Spirit had come upon him to anoint him for his ministry as Messiah. Now, if we want to serve the Lord, we are going to have to receive from him the anointing of the Holy Spirit to conduct the ministry to which the Lord has assigned us. We see that the disciples, Jesus, the first disciples, were huddled up in a room in Jerusalem for fear of the Jewish authorities. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, they lost all their fear and they became oracles of God, as Peter was to describe it. Let's read some of these accounts. Much of the church today avoids the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so many of our believers who love the Lord have not been told that they can receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit for their ministry. Some people, because of tradition, have failed to lay hold of the second aspect of the gift of the Holy Spirit, what the disciples received on the day of the resurrection and what the disciples received on the day of Pentecost. Let's read a little bit more of the Pentecost story. And we read this in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What were they in one accord about? They were waiting to receive the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. He said, "You shall receive the promise of the Father not many days hence." And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit came upon them, they began to speak other tongues as he gave them utterance. They began to speak in a language that was not their own language, not in their own Hebrew language or in Greek language. They began to speak the praises of God. And the people in the area gathered around to see what was happening, and they heard them speaking and praising God in their own language. And then Peter turned to them and addressed them and said, "This is the gift of the Holy Spirit." Began to explain the ministry of Jesus. began to say that this is the fulfillment of what was foretold by the prophet Joel. You see, you have to be able to justify everything with Scripture. And the baptism in the Spirit is a highly scriptural experience. Peter said, "This is the fulfillment of that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Then Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus the Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as call on the Lord. This is for all generations, that all generations should receive the Holy Spirit to the same measure as those first believers and followers of Yeshua in Jerusalem." Question is, have we been told about this? And have we consciously come before the Lord and said, "Lord, I present myself to you to do your works and to fulfill the ministry, to proclaim you and to be your witness. I want to be your witness and I want to be your disciple, but I do not have the full power for this." So then, recognizing that we don't have the full power to be his witnesses, we, like those first disciples, wait before the Lord and ask him to pour out his Spirit upon us and to anoint us for our specific ministry. We see that right throughout the book of Acts, the story, how one group of believers after another began the gift of the Holy Spirit. We see that Philip went down to Samaria, and there the Samaritans received the Lord, and then the apostles came down, laid hands on them, and they began to receive the Holy Spirit. Later in Acts chapter 10, we see that Peter went among the Romans at the direction of the Holy Spirit, began to speak the gospel to the Romans, Cornelius and other Romans in his household. And as in Acts 10:44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished, Jewish believers, that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. How did they know that they had received the Holy Spirit? They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. You see, there are hungry people all over the world waiting to hear the message. Jesus has paid for their sins and was to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in new birth and in the anointing. And then also accompanying the gift of the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues, speaking in the prayer language. Your tongues, the gift of tongues, is the prayer language. Speaking beyond the limit of our minds and of our understanding. Later on in the book of Acts, we see how this whole work of giving the message of Jesus the Savior and Jesus the baptizer and the Holy Spirit, and having people receive salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we see that Paul, in his first visit to Ephesus, as recorded in Acts chapter 19, it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, a city in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and finding some disciples, followers of Jesus, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In other words, there were disciples who had not received the Holy Spirit. They had only received the message of forgiveness and justification, but hadn't received the full message of the Holy Spirit. So they said to them, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said to them, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." And we saw in last week's program how John baptized with water, but Jesus was to come to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So all they knew was John's baptism for repentance and for the breaking with their own life, but not the saturation in the Holy Spirit that Jesus comes to give. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So we see how this message of Jesus Savior and Jesus Baptizer in the Holy Spirit. In these last days, we need the full power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to give us this great, tremendous gift of His Spirit within us and His Spirit to be upon us so that we can proclaim Him boldly and be led and directed by the Spirit of God. There used to be a time when in many denominations they discouraged the gift of tongues and the receiving of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but those days are coming to an end as we're living this hour when we need the whole body of Christ anointed to be an anointed community, anointed with the full power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill our ministry, our corporate ministry together, to advance the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul speaks about the gifts of the Spirit, especially about prophecy and tongues. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love, follow after love, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts in some part of the church are just ignored or barely tolerated, but Paul says we're to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Elsewhere he says, I wouldn't have you ignorant of this, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So when you're speaking in tongues in your prayer language, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking beyond the limits of the censorship of your mind, and you're speaking from the realm of your spirit. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation to comfort men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You build yourself up. You charge your battery. I wish, Paul writes, that you should all speak with tongues. Now that's the apostle writing. I believe that's the mind of God. I wish that you would all speak in tongues. In general, it's the general wish, desire of the Lord that we should all receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and that we should all speak in tongues. There may be some exceptions, but when we're in the assembly, we shouldn't speak in tongues without interpreting. And Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. Paul spent a lot of his time speaking in tongues. When we speak in tongues, our minds are idle or in neutral, and our spirits are uttering praises to God. We go beyond the limits of our mind and we give the Lord syllables that we don't censor, and we begin to give praises unto the Lord. Now, people have the idea that speaking in tongues is emotional. No, you can be quite unemotional when you speak in tongues. Just as when you pray in English, you're not usually emotional when you're praying. And when praying in tongues, you're not usually emotional. You're just praying mysteries to God. You're saying, thank you, Lord. And you're letting your voice go out in tongues to the Lord, out beyond the censorship of your mind. You give the Lord syllables that you don't censor, and becomes a language edifying and building up your spirit. Tongues is sometimes described by people as the least of the gifts. But the Bible never calls it the least of the gifts. It's a gateway into the supernatural. Now that's the invitation. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the great theme of the book of Acts. And he wants the church of the end times, every one of us in the sound of my voice, to consciously come before the Lord and to ask him to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and power, and to receive all the gifts, including the gift of tongues. Let's present ourselves, responding to the great invitation, and say, yes, Lord, I want you now to baptize me mightily with the Holy Spirit and power. I present myself to you to be your disciples and to be led by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and obedient to the direction of the Holy Spirit in line with the Word of God. The great invitation is produced by Reconciliation Outreach and made possible by the partnership of listeners like you. To contact us, go to our website, reconciliationoutreach.net, and click on the contact button there, or simply write to us, Paul and Nuala, at P.O. Box 2778, Stuart, Florida 34995.
Perfect for business or pleasure, Pirates Cove Resort offers a peaceful getaway, giving you old Florida charm in a gorgeous contemporary setting. Elegant and comfortable, Pirates Cove Resort satisfies your yearning for a place away from demanding schedules. Family owned and operated, the staff of Pirates Cove Resort will joyfully provide for your needs while you relax and enjoy all of our amenities. For more information, we can be reached at 772-287-2500 or on our website, Pirates Cove Resort.com.
Hi, this is Keith Masters, a street witness sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Utilitarian philosopher John Stuart Mill in 1867, in his inaugural address at the University of St. Andrews, stated, "Let not anyone pacify his conscience by the delusion that he can do no harm if he takes no part and forms no opinion. Bad men need nothing more to compass their ends than that good men should look on and do nothing. He is not a good man who, without a protest, allows wrong to be committed in his name and with the means which he helps to supply, because he will not trouble himself to use his mind on the subject." In Battle Cry, a Christian publication, the 2021 July-August publication writes, "Outraged parents are beginning to discover how much Satan filled the vacuum when we allowed God to be kicked out of the schools. Parents are becoming outraged as they discover the schools are teaching their young children pornography, homosexuality, and gender confusion. Schools are the new battleground." In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." In Mark 16, 15, Jesus said unto his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In closing, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." It might just turn out that Jesus is calling you. This is Keith Masters, a street witness, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents, come aboard the kids' canoe. Paddle through the waters of the Word of God from your child's perspective, looking into creation that Jesus holds in his hands. Put on your life vest of love. Hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure through God's creation every Saturday, 11 a.m.
Good afternoon. Thank you and your staff for your excellent work at broadcasting Christian music and gospel messages all day long. I really appreciate it, as well as my family. God bless you all.
Thank you. of whom the whole creation sings. There is a name that carries peace and causes suffering to cease. And there's no fear now. The King is here.
Angels and men rejoice.